Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
And I'm the Fat Man.
Coming at you not so live with our take of the Olympic Games 2026 Milan Cortina Winter Version.
Indeed. So this is clearly a few weeks after the Olympics finished. They ran from February 4th all the way through to like the 16th, I think. Oh, the 22nd.
22nd.
All the way back there. Ups and downs. Let's take a look at the medal count just to start this off. Number one in the Olympics, probably for not for the first time, Norway with 41 medals total.
Yeah, no, definitely not the first time.
In the most gold medals at 18. Right on their heels, though, the United States.
USA! USA!
USA! USA! Get ready for that all throughout this episode, folks.
Yep.
USA came in second with 33 medals altogether and 12 gold. So it was pretty good. And then third place was the Netherlands. Unless they're giving me cheese, I don't care. No, they got 20 medals total and 10 gold.
Cheese and total dominance over Formula One by Max Verstappen.
So as far as the Norwegians, they pretty much dominated all of the skiing events.
Yeah. The Norwegians got the skiing. The Netherlands got the skating. And we got everything else.
Yep.
Actually, us and the Japanese.
Which is funny because they had less medals than the fourth place team, Italy.
Yeah, and the home team actually had a really good showing, I felt like.
Yeah.
I think they had a gold on day one, if I remember right.
Well, let's see. Where did they get golds in? Alpine skiing, biathlon, freestyle skiing, luge, and short track speed skating. Oh, and three medals in regular speed skating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, they did really good for a host team. Versus this is what, the third time in our lives that they've been in Italy?
Third time?
I know Turin and this time, and I thought there may have been another time.
Is it Turin or Torino?
I guess it's properly pronounced Torino.
Yeah. But
much like how Americans say things.
Yeah.
Just like Rome is actually Roma.
Roma. And Florence is Firenze.
Firenze.
Figure that one out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where in Italy has the Olympic Games been? Cortina, 1956. Rome, 1960. Turin, 2006. And Milan, Cortina, 2026.
Twice in our lifetime.
Yeah, this was a return to Cortina, effectively. But we added Milan in there.
Which I think the Olympic Committee pretty much said that's what they're going to do from now on, is pretty much just go to the cities it's already been.
I mean, that makes sense from the we don't want to bankrupt the host cities perspective. Right. Since constructing these facilities is a significant burden on the host country if they're not the U.S. of A.
That was made clear when they did the Summer Olympics in Athens, which, I mean, irony of all ironies there.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it in Athens again, even though that's where they originated. Or Greece. I don't know if they originated in Athens per se, but Greece for sure.
Greece is and shall always be bankrupt.
Right.
Because the national sport in Greece is tax evasion, not anything practically done on a field with teams or against other players. It's all them versus their own government.
It's almost kind of like the Florida. It's what everyone outside of Florida thinks of Florida. Mm-hmm. It is really just that place where you go to just do as little as you possibly want.
Yeah.
And it's because it's beautiful. It's on the ocean. Why would you want to work hard?
And it's funny because, like, you know, birthplace of democracy and the whole Sparta thing, although that turned out to be a lie, pretty much they were just as decadent as the rest of Greece. They just had really good playwrights, really good at propaganda, effectively. You know, the Macedonians who claimed Greekness, you know, Thebes, and I don't know, you just had all these, like, you know, really dominant cultures and societies that were all based around athleticism and hard work and, you know, hard thinking and everything. And today Greece is the place you go to turn into a blob, both mentally and physically.
Like, necessarily mentally and physically. I mean, like, you could just enjoy life. You just said,
do as little as you can and not work hard. It's not necessarily
turning into a blob. That could be just enjoying life.
Look, I don't know if you've looked at the human body recently, but enjoying life results in blobhood. That's just how it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen listening, for sure what you're going to hear from Pat on another day is the amount of pictures I've sent Pat of beautiful Greeks, all right?
Don't do that. I don't need that showing up.
Well, if you're going to keep on, I mean...
in my Facebook Messenger.
It's pretty much a challenge at this point. I mean, you know...
I don't need a cease and desist order from Facebook, Bruce. You don't either. What will you do all day if not scroll through Facebook and send me stuff on Messenger?
Well, for certain, I'm going to be a carpal tunnel.
Moving on. Children listen to this, Bruce.
Yes, and I've addressed that. In person to no those less. People.
Yeah. How dare you? All right, Olympics.
Since we're Americans, we're going to focus on what the Americans did well and what they didn't do so well. And we're going to start off the way that the Olympics started off, and that's with mixed doubles curling. If you didn't know, Pat and I, huge curling fans since the, what year was it in Torino?
We were in college, 2006? Yeah, 2006.
Mainly because of the time difference and the Olympics being on TV, that was the thing they showed a lot that year. We didn't start off loving curling, but we grew to love it because it's a great game to watch when you just want it in the background or lazy about, or if you're just getting flat drunk. It's a great game to watch if you're just getting flat drunk.
Yeah, okay. I know. Yes. I mean, if you're going to have several gallons of iced tea over the course of a 2 to 3 hour period. Yeah, I know what I said. Then yes, watching curling is a phenomenal with friends. You know, if you're doing it alone, that's like drinking iced tea while watching It's a Wonderful Life. It's just going to go poorly for you.
Well, that can be said for golf, too.
I mean, really? Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hit close to home?
No, I mean, yes, but also no. I'm just saying, I don't think there's a limit with golf. I think if you're watching golf already on the TV, you've already hit the low. Like, you can't go lower than that. So adding copious amounts of iced tea, the mixture, is not going to bring you down anymore. You're already watching golf. You've already hit bottom. Like, whereas with curling, you know, it's actually a sport that involves strategy and stuff. And you can talk it over. And it's way more fun to watch with your friends. That's the point I'm trying to get across. Fun to watch with friends.
Except for, you know, when we did it, you went into the other room.
Yeah, to do this.
No. I'm not saying this year. I'm saying back in 2006.
You mean to, like, sleep?
No, you didn't sleep because we heard you cheering in the other room.
What? I don't remember that.
Yeah, you came out here and you're like, why are you guys watching curling? You guys are nerds. And then you went to your room.
Okay. And then I went to sleep. I don't.
Oh, we heard you cheering.
Are you sure I was cheering for curling?
Yes. Because it was the only event on.
Yeah, there's been sleep since this. I don't remember any of these incidents. I can neither confirm nor deny, Your Honor, what the fat man is saying. I really don't remember this at all, to be honest.
Anywho, so yeah, mixed doubles curling. So it's one man, one woman. On a normal curling game, it's 10 ends, or you can think of it like innings. And in normal curling, you throw 10 rocks, two per team of five guys. Curling, it's 8 ends with, I want to say, 8 rocks?
Yeah, 8 rocks, yeah.
So 4 per person. Mm-hmm. Typically on a normal curling, you've got one guy throwing the rock, two guys sweeping, and another guy spotting at the other end. And then the fifth guy is somewhere, wherever he wants to be. You have people helping with all the sweep and whatnot. This one, it's just however you want to get it down to the end, get it down to the end. If the thrower wants to sweep, he could sweep. He or she can sweep. If the other person wants to sweep, they can do it. It's kind of just however you can make it happen.
Yeah. Let me do some specificaciones. By throwing the rock, we mean sliding a 40-pound piece of granite mined in a special place in Scotland upon an icy sheet or surface that has been quote-unquote pebbled, which means some guy with a lawn hose sprayed a bunch of water onto it in random droplets. And so it's a rough surface, which actually makes it fairly easy to walk on. You roll this giant stone, not roll, but slide it. So by throw, we mean slide. And by sweep, you use these little squeegees they're almost sponges on the end of this stick, and you're trying to rub it on the ice quick enough to heat the pebble ice up enough to get out of the way of the rock to make it go faster or curl or turn, which is where the term curling comes from. The rocks or stones have handles on top of them, which is what you're supposed to use to guide the stone out of the starting pack. It's very similar to a starting where you rest your feet on a starter for a running race, but you use it to push yourself off along the ice to roll to slide the stone. So I just want to put that all in perspective for people. This is an insane sport made for and by drunken people.
Very much so. And I think that's why over the years it's gotten as much popularity as it has been, because it is very much a game that if you have such a facility that does that sport near you, anybody could play. You may not be the best person at it, but you could play it, kind of like bowling. Mixed doubles, United States last Olympics in the men's category, won gold. So there was a lot of hype this year going into the curling team. You know, we thought that maybe we'd develop our players, our teams more and whatnot.
I didn't think we won gold last. I thought it was the year before.
2018. So
Pyeongchang, that was in Korea. 2018, and they all looked like dads, you know, who'd gotten off the couch the summer before and just decided to curl versus what they look like now. You know, they look like actual athletes now, which means that the sport has gone from being the drunken man's game to being a real sport, which is always what happens to Scottish games eventually, aka golf.
Yes, but I don't know if that's actually made us better, because when you look outside of this mixed doubles, we didn't really do that great.
No, we did. I mean, I think we got what, fourth?
So men's four, no, women's. Yeah, we got fourth because we lost in the bronze game there.
Fourth, men's got the fifth place.
Yeah.
Narrowly missing the playoff. Yep.
In this case, what I was trying to point out is that the men's team, nobody on the men's team was older than the age of 30.
Yeah. All a bunch of young guys, young buff dudes.
I don't know about buff. I mean, they were pretty scrawny nerds.
Whatever. Pretty sure they were buff. Corey was not on their team, though.
No.
The Corey from the mixed doubles.
The most successful, you know, we did in curling this year was mixed doubles, and it was the Corey's.
Corey and Corey, mixed doubles powerhouse team on the women's side. She's one of the most precise curlers on the ice, at least for the U.S. And on the men's side, he is one of the most amazing sweepers, I suppose, because good grief, he looked like he was going to have a coronary after every end because of the difficulty is not the right word. The amount of effort he was putting into sweeping those stones. It is kind of a different ballgame because you've only got two people, right? Normally you've got four or five folks out there. When you only have two, the sweeping, especially if it's only being done by one person, and that's the, you know, the male Corey. I mean, he was really having to get at it. Not that the female Corey was doing a bad job; she was doing fine with curling. But yeah, it is kind of crazy. It's not. It's, you definitely don't share the load like you do in regular curling, which is why for mixed curling you only do eight ends. You only throw six stones. And two of the stones were placed out there already.
You want to know how this is a European operation right here? Is that it is so difficult to find information.
What are you looking at?
I'm trying to find their full names so we get their full names in recognition. Because, I mean, they brought us the closest to a gold medal since, you know, 2018. And that's a pretty big deal, you know, in three Olympics getting medals in curling.
Corey Thies and Corey Dropkin.
Thank you.
Yeah, that took, I typed one time into Google. I don't. What are you doing?
I'm on the Olympic website.
Oh, yeah.
That's no, my point.
That's where you went wrong.
Right. I went to the source.
Yeah, you tried to ask an Italian for information.
I don't think it was Italians that made this website. I think it was the...
You just said European.
Yes, sir. European as of all of Europe.
Yeah, I'm pinpointing the Italians on this one.
Well, you're Irish, so, I mean, you know, it's in your blood.
I mean, I guess. I hate the English. I don't care about the Italians. They're at least the same religion as us. Freaking English. King Henry VIII, defender of the faith. My
So anyways, we're kind of really digging into this. Mixed doubles, the team made it all the way to the gold game, ended up losing to a brother-sister duo from Sweden.
Sweden.
But it's the only time that the mixed doubles team has ever won a medal in curling. And it's the only time that a woman athlete who's played curling has received a medal.
From the U.S.
From the U.S. Right.
Yeah. It's a good start. And then a very it felt like our U.S. curling women's team made such a strong start of it and then almost blew themselves out of the water or off the ice, you know, going into the semifinals. I think they were 6-0, and then they lost like two in a row, one of those being to the worst team out on the ice. it was bad. And then they came back, they rallied, they beat, I don't know, whoever it was they beat in the semis to make it to the gold medal match, but then they just could not beat the Swedes, who they had beat in round robin play, but it was a very close game, mm-hmm. if I remember right. I think they won by a single stone.
Right.
Is it stone or points?
Points.
How do you refer to points? Single point. Single run, single score point, touchdown.
Oh, my God.
What's going to be fun is in 2 years when we're going to be able to talk about flag football
as an
Olympic sport.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Men's and women's. Yeah. I mean, like.
Men's and women's.
And that's going to be the question. Are they going to be, like, really burly guys, or are they going to be skinny nerds? Because, I mean, like, if they're big burly guys, how are you going to keep them from knocking people over?
It is all about, like, quickness and wiriness, mm-hmm. to quote that one guy from The Replacements.
Your
ability to fake people out and get them to grab at the wrong place where your flag should be. It's a very different game from a blocking and tackling perspective. And that you're not allowed to block and not allowed to tackle.
I guarantee you it's going to be one of those where, like, oh, the Americans didn't win. And go, yeah, because it's not really football.
You say that, but, like, the NFL is pushing flag football hard. Like, hard. They have leagues, like, everywhere. They're trying to train those athletes over the next 2 years.
That was one big thing out of the Olympics. I think the next big thing is to talk about, and I say it in this order because I think the biggest thing is after that, in the same sport, but on the other side. Men's hockey, Team USA beats Canada to win the gold. And boy, what a charged game that was. I mean, like, you would have thought we were playing the Russians back in the 1980s again.
And in fact, on the replay, that is how they sold it.
Right.
They even had Kurt Russell come on. He was in the Miracle movie.
Right. And even better than that, during the commercials, it was a commercial of John Hamm walking into the men's hockey locker room and talking about how much they, you know, that we need to beat Canada.
And we did need to beat Canada. We really did. Basically, it had been 30 years since we'd won a gold medal in hockey, and losing to Canada.
I think the last time we won was against the Russians.
It was.
Yeah, it was. So it was 40 years ago.
It was 40, not 30. Yeah, 40 years ago. So it is a big deal. The men's team finally beating Canada. We lost to Canada when we did the Canadian games. 2022, I guess, was Canada. I don't remember. The Canadian games, you know, we went to the final with them. And we ended up getting the silver medal. There's a long-standing history of us being us and them, kind of being the two dominant teams after the Russians fell off the face of the earth. And we finally beat them, finally brought it home.
What's better than that is, like, the kind of salt in the wound is that in the NHL, the biggest, I don't want to say joke, but the biggest thing is that a Canadian NHL team hasn't won a Stanley Cup in a very long time.
I mean, it's been freaking Florida for, like,
right.
the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Florida. There's no ice on the ground naturally in Florida. They have to put it there.
Certainly not in the cities where the team is, like Tampa and Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And so this has been some of the people, like, you know, were thinking, okay, this is Canada's chance to at least win something over America in hockey. And, you know, even the Maple Leafs don't make the playoffs, you know, they can hang their hat on this.
Or Edmonton, like it has been the last couple of years. But no, they're baking his ham. They're baking his ham. They're baking his ham. Yeah, take it, Canadians. And this, of course, the men's team winning against Canada only a couple days prior, the women's hockey U.S. hockey team beat Canada in the gold medal match in almost the same manner.
Right.
Basically, it came down to the wire. Both teams tied at the very end. And then, you know, 2 minutes.
Actually, it was in the same manner. Mm-hmm. OT yeah. and a score of 2-1.
And the overtime score was in the first like 2 minutes for both teams. It was like crazy, the parallels. Now, I think the U.S. women's team had won in a more recent time frame.
Oh, yeah.
But I think out of the 8 times we'd played for the gold medal against Canada, Canada right. had beat us like 6 times.
There was like 1 year where we did not play for the gold against Canada. And then yeah. that was it. Like every other time has been Canada, U.S. And we've won it a couple of times, you know, in that mix, but not nearly as much as Canada has won.
Yeah. This was another, not quite as grudge matchy as the men's, but a pretty solid grudge match.
Right.
Bringing both of these gold medals home, you know,
USA, USA, USA. USA.
Yeah. Your bacon is ham.
You love that I showed you that, didn't I?
I do. Because it is. It's so true.
It's so funny because, like, English bacon. You know, like the rashers, you know, they're like half the size of Canadian ham. But at the very least, it's got enough fat on it that you go, OK, that's bacon.
That's basically bacon. Right? Yeah.
The way it
yeah.
cooks and everything else is bacon. Whereas like, you know, someone's, oh, it's Canadian bacon. No, that's f-ing ham. All right.
That's ham. Just ham. Move along. Move on it's, down the line.
It's been around a lot longer than even America and everybody called it ham.
Yeah. What do you guys call bacon? Actual bacon.
Even the Spanish, jamón ibérico. You know, it's jamón, ham. we're not going to get bogged down on this. No.
You sure?
So those were two really big gold medals that we brought home. I think the other noteworthy one is, I mean, I say noteworthy, but really you thought it was going to be more noteworthy than it was. Men's figure skating.
Okay, so let's talk about the failures this year. We'll start with skating because it was the second most dramatic. Ilion Melanin?
Yeah,
Melanin?
Something like that. It was a very strange American name.
Yeah, he's American. From Virginia. His parents are from the Eastern Bloc countries, if I remember right. Skating stars themselves. Referred to colloquially as the quad god because he can do all of the quad jumps, which means you spin 3.5 times in the air. I know quad typically means 4, but it's really hard to do 4. And I'm going to give it to him because I don't think I can do 1.
Right.
Without both crashing and falling onto the ice and then vomiting. But so 3.5 is what they call a quad. We'll set this stage up with the teams because they always start with the team competition, right? So you have, you know, you send your best or, you know, one of your good skaters out, and you have the women's short program, the women's freestyle, which is just the long program. Short programs like 2 minutes, freestyle can be longer than that. Then you have the ice dancing, which are the two skaters, and then you have the men's short and the men's long. The women's, either short or long, didn't do terribly well for the U.S. Our ice dancers were friggin' phenomenal. Our short program was good. Our short women's was very good. The short men's was very good, and then Ilion was the freestyle men's. And he came out, and he looked fantastic, but he did not do... I want to say it's the quad Lutz. One of the quads that nobody else can do yet. He's the first one who's done it in international competition. And he did it at the, I think, last year's World Championship. He's the only one that's pulled that off. They thought maybe he'd do it. He didn't do it on that routine, but he did score over 200 points. Very similar to Simone Biles strategy-wise. Mm-hmm. If you remember Simone Biles's gymnastics routines, especially from the last Olympics, I'm not talking Beijing, where she you know, kind of had a breakdown on the mat and took herself out, which was the right thing to do. I'm talking about the one after that, where, you know, she went out there and she competed. She can put up so difficult numbers, right? So she's going to do this thing that's just ridiculously hard to do. And even if she doesn't do it perfect, it's so hard that it eclipses anybody who does even perfect but easier stuff.
Right.
And that's what Ilian does, at least from what I saw in the Olympics. He puts up these ridiculous numbers and he does it well. He doesn't do it perfect, but he does it well. So even though he might not look quite as clean as some of the other skaters, he's doing significantly harder things. He effectively went out there, skated his heart out, beat the Japanese because at that point, the Japanese were neck and neck with us and they could have won the gold. That freestyle skater, he skated his heart out too. Like the Japanese were skating lights out. We just did as well and won us the gold. We got the team gold, you know, USA team skating. That's been our strong. We've owned that gold for a while now. It's always been hard on the women's side because the Russians tend to dominate pretty massively. So then team, great, coming off that high, went into the ice dancer. There was a controversy there. Our ice dancing teams did the same routines they did in the team competition, but our top team got scored less by the Italian judge who scored their team better. And we got the silver and the Italian team won the gold. And there's a lot of people screaming, you know, robbed effectively on that one. If you go watch the routines, I'm not going to take it away from the Italians. They look spectacular, but so did our, I say kids, cause they're not kids. They're in their 30s, but you know, so did our people. So a lot of fantastic skating to watch. I always like the ice dancing because it's ridiculous the kind of things they could pull off with two people being synced and not killing each other with blades strapped to their, you know, we're going to strap some knives to your feet and send you out on this thing. And I want you to twirl and not kill each other. how they pull that off, I don't know. So then we move into the men's competition. Short program goes very well. We get to the freestyle. This is Ilian's thing. We think, okay, we're going to see the quad. He's skating. Of course, he's last because he qualified with the highest number. So he's the very last person to skate the program. Comes out, and the first time he goes to jump, in which where he can put the quad Lutz, he misses and does like a double Lutz or something. And even a, you know, a no neck like myself can tell, oh, he screwed that up. Like, and you can see his face kind of go downcast at that point. And you know, you listen to the commentary, it becomes very clear something went wrong there. He probably just got in his own head. He took off wrong from the ice, decided not to go into the try the quad Lutz. And the problem with that is at that point, you are either attempting to do the rest of your program perfectly in order to maintain your points, or you're trying, because it's the free program, you can add elements in to make up points that you lost earlier. So he's trying to do the mental math of where to try and stick these extra jumps in, and he gets in his head too much and he messes up two more jumps. I don't think he fell, but he does so poorly because he misses two more jumps that he ends up going into eighth place.
Right.
And the Japanese almost have a sweep. They almost get all three, if I remember right. I don't remember who gets – somebody else got the bronze, if I remember correctly.
Kazakhstan got gold, and Japan got silver and bronze.
Silver and bronze. That's right. Kazakhstan got gold. So, you know, former Russian guy, probably. Speaking of the Russians, again, not allowed to compete in this Olympics, this time because of the Ukrainian war. I'm trying to remember if that was the case.
They didn't even like try to like softball it like they did last time and give them, what was it, like the, you know, like international Olympic team or something like that?
International athletes from Russia.
Right.
Is what they were termed last time. The time before that, they were allowed to compete. And the time before that, it was because of the doping scandal. So they were allowed to compete as something else. It's just been this ever since the Winter Olympics in Russia. Russia has pretty much been out of the Olympics because of something, some reason. The problem they had last Winter Olympics was the age. Their star girl was too young, if I remember correctly. She was 14 and she had to be at least 15. So a lot of problems there over there. Shocking. Nobody. you get to the women's. Of course, the women's is going to be full of some drama. We have two very good skaters going up for it, one who is favored and one who, you know, had only really gotten back into the game maybe a month before, or not a month before, it was more like a year before, but she had gotten injured a while back and had taken off from the sport for a significant amount of time and then had decided she wanted to come back and competed. The girl, let's see, her name was Alyssa Liu. She was kind of the underdog because everybody wasn't really sure how much her head was going to be on, like if it was going to be on straight for this Olympics or not. The other person who was the favored was Amber Glenn, and Amber's actually a local for us here in Dallas. Hmm. If I remember right, she's out of like Plano. But Amber had a similar fall apart, not quite as dramatic as Zillion's, but she fell apart as well during her long program. So she did not make the gold like everybody thought. She was a solid gold contender, and it turned out to be Alyssa Liu who won the gold medal. And fun to watch, just really, really fun to watch. And very charismatic, very happy-go-lucky. Terrible, terrible piercing. She has this piercing. I don't know what you call this thing, but it's like those piercings people get in their nose, the nose rings, like bulls have. Except it was in her mouth, like in front of her teeth, between her lip, the back of her lip, and the front of her teeth. And it, and instead of being a circle, it was like two points. And I'm like, how are you not constantly cutting your lip up on that thing? Number one. And number two, that just doesn't look good. Like, like, I mean, I get it. You know, do what she wants with the mouth jewelry, but. Yeah, so as always, plenty of drama in the skating world. I know if you go back and listen to 4 years ago, you're going to hear me wax poetic about skating as well, and the drama, especially on the women's side of the ball. You know, Nathan Chen was the star male, and he was phenomenal that year. But if you go back to 4 years prior to that, he fell. He wasn't that great. So, you know, I think your first Olympics, there's a lot of jitters. So that's skating. Now, I said Ilian's fall from grace was the second most spectacular because the first most spectacular was Lindsey Vonn.
Oh, yeah.
And Lindsey Vonn was, downhill skiing. I don't remember which, alpine maybe. The differences between the various skiing events, they're different, definitely. Upon watching them, I can tell they're different. But
and then there's different ones inside of those events.
Correct. What is what? Like, what is a super G versus a G versus a downhill versus a slalom? I got nothing. I can't tell you what's what. Someday I'll probably learn. But either way, Lindsey Vonn, 40 years old. She's coming back from a significant injury like a year and a half ago. A crash broke several things, I think an arm and a leg and ribs and stuff. And then 2 weeks before the Olympics, blows her knee out, mm-hmm. has to have reconstructive, I don't know what that part of your kneecap is called, but kneecap surgery to put her knee back together. Literally 2 weeks before the Olympics to get herself ready to go. You know, she's all set. She's cleared by a doctor, is all good to go. She gets out of the gate, goes down the hill to the second gate, gets caught on it effectively, the back of her ski, it flips her, and she flips hard. Has to be
right into the fence.
And has to be airlifted out by helicopter. Like she is, and broke her leg. It broke her leg flat out. So yeah, that is like, I think that's the end. That's probably the last we'll see of Lindsey Vonn from the skiing. You know, good effort, good try, but good grief. Like you talk about spectacular way to go. That was probably it.
And don't let me forget to talk about at least one other thing that happened that was controversial. And I thought there was another one I missed, but
We didn't talk about the curling controversy.
Right. That was the one I was thinking. And I thought there was another one, but.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Let's get to that a little bit later because we're still rolling with the individual events.
Yeah,
I was going to say next. And so here's the thing. And this has been the theme, I guess, for this Olympics is that our generation can still do stuff. And I say that because in the women's bobsled, we won a gold and a couple of bronze. The gold was in mono bobsled, and it was done by 41-year-old Ilana Myers Taylor, who has done the Olympics several times and has never even gotten a medal. And certainly in this one, she got gold. I mean, she was the top of her class. And her teammate, Kaylee Armbruster Humphreys.
Armbruster, yeah. Heck of a name.
She got the bronze, and she's 40 years old herself.
Yep.
Another two really good medal wins from a sport that typically the Germans do really well. And in fact, they got silver and fourth place in the mono bobsled.
They dominated through the rest of the bobsled events as well.
Pretty much, yep. Kaylee, she got bronze in the two-person women's bobsled. So another medal for the Americans in that one. But that's pretty much it for bobsled and luge. I mean, I don't think we did a whole lot better in any of the other.
Not really. Those were really our two big bobsled moments, was the doubles and the mono. And, you know, it's just the Germans sort of just dominate.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of dominate. I will say the other big skiing one was Michaela Schiffer returns. If you remember talking about her last time, she crashed on two out of four of her events, I want to say, and had to skip the other two at the Beijing Olympics. And I'm still, you know, full conspiracy theory thinking that the Chinese made those courses to crash her out, just because the way she skis and how aggressive she is. On the other hand, this time she didn't. She didn't crash out. She skied on her second event. She skied extremely well, and she won a gold. And so, you know, it's probably the swan song for Schiffert, especially after watching what happened to Lindsey Vonn after having to push it too long or trying to push it too long. Then again, who knows? I think Schiffert is one of the most decorated skiers in the sport, period. She has an enormous number of world titles for the G and the Super G and the downhill. She's just a phenomenal skier. So, but it was amazing. It was amazing to watch her finish, right? It was very, a very similar set of feelings that we had watching Simone Biles come back, right? After watching her decide to step away in Beijing and then come back in Paris and, you know, win a gold in Paris. It was very similar to those feelings. In fact, NBC had them talk to each other, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, have both of them having kind of crashed out in their own field. And that, you know, that's, I remember thinking that watching Michaela go down during her runs in Beijing, thinking, you know, this is the exact same thing that happened to Simone Biles. And so it was good to see both of them come back, very much an American comeback. Not necessarily underdog, but comeback story.
I went and looked. We did get a medal in luge, women's luge. We got a bronze. But I think we covered like all the big events that, you know, we actually medaled in. I don't think there were any skiing ones that were any big surprises. Snowboarding, I think the first time in forever, we didn't get anything in snowboarding.
Yeah, it's pretty much being dominated by the Japanese and the Australians.
Since he stopped competing, Sean White stopped competing.
Yeah, he's an announcer now. That and one of the American competitors decided to rep for China, which is, you know, I said it 4 years ago and I'll say it again, traitor. Like, I'm sorry. Winning gold medals for a genocidal country.
You know, we get a lot of people that come over here to compete for us, and you know it's a lot of you know, mix it and mingle. You know, you just want to get into the Olympics. So
yeah, I get that, you know. And I know we have a lot of athletes from the U.S. go to other countries, you know, because of their heritage, and they compete for those other country. And the reality is they're American athletes, right? They live here, they train here, mm-hmm. and they just compete for those countries during the Olympics. I'm fine with that, because they're not typically the top of their game. These are the people who didn't make the American Olympic team, because if they could, they would be for America. This girl is at the top of her game, and she is choosing to rep China. That is a much, much more jagged pill to swallow.
Well, we only have to swallow it once every 4 years, if that.
You know, I just try not to watch those events, because then I'd be rooting against her, and I don't like to root against athletes, just generally speaking.
Sure.
Like, you know, even the athletes from the countries I don't like, the natural athletes from those countries, I'm not going to root against them. They're just athletes.
They're doing their thing.
Yeah.
Trying to make their mark.
I mean, unless they're Canadian. And playing in hockey. And we're playing in hockey. Or curling, for that matter. Cheating cheaters, you cheat.
Yes. So that was a good segue. So that was probably one of the biggest controversies, I think, this Olympics, was this curling incident that happened twice. what it is that when you, you know, when you're sending the rock and curling down the sheet, you have to release the rock before a certain line. It's called the hog line.
Because that's where the pig is. No, there's no pig out there.
So just like in bowling, you have that line you can't step over. Here, yep. You have to release the stone before it crosses the hog line.
Why it's called a hog line, nobody knows.
I'm sure there's a reason we don't get that kind of time. No. Now, it appeared the first time was against the Swiss team, I think the Canadians were playing. And then it was the Swedish.
Was it the Swedish who got all?
I think it was the Swedish. I don't remember. So yeah, first It was against the Swiss team, and the Swedes, you know, knew about it, like, because apparently it started getting around that a particular Canadian curler, when he would release the stone, he would extend his index finger out, and it looked like from the camera image that he was touching the stone. Now, in curling, if you grab the handle, release it, grab it, you can do that as many times as you want, as long as it's before the hog line. Come to find out that the rules state you cannot touch the stone itself.
Yep, gotta use the handle.
Now, in the Olympics, this doesn't come up very often. Most people, again, because, you know, curling is considered a gentleman's sport, much like golf. Players are supposed to police themselves. They're supposed to be gentlemanly. They're supposed to shake hands no matter what and, you know, smile and say good game and all that sort of stuff. So stuff like this doesn't happen a whole lot, if at all, really.
Yeah, this is a beer and pretzel game. Like, everybody's supposed to be aware when they screw up. And if they're not, you just say, hey, man, you probably screwed up. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, it's not. Nobody's supposed to be trying to cheat.
Right. This happened in the Swiss game. It doesn't really get brought up, but obviously it caught the Swedish team's attention. So the Swedes play them and it happens again. And this time, a Swedish player calls him out on it, says, hey, you can't do that. That's against the rules. We need a ruling here. The Swedish player says, hey, you were cheating. And the Canadian player in response says, if you're calling me a cheater, then you can F off. Yeah. Obviously, that's an abbreviation of what actually was said. But so two things happened there. One is just knowing the rules and the Olympic observers kind of not knowing about this because the rules are different from international competition as they are in the Olympics. Essentially, nothing happens. But the second part of that controversy is the fact that the Canadian player swore at a Swedish player, and that just doesn't happen. You got to be, you know, professional. You got to have sportsmanship. And so I think it was one of those really strange situations where the only reason why it was a big deal is because it doesn't happen in this sport. It's not supposed to happen in this sport. And if you're looking for someone to get penalized by it, you don't know what a good punishment is because you've never had to deal with it.
Yeah. You know, this is not a sport where you have two refs standing on the sidelines watching everything that's happening going on. You've got five sheets of ice. You've got five games going on between 10 different countries. And you got like two or three refs wandering around.
Right.
Like watching play as they go. Because who needs refs? Like, this game isn't really supposed to be like that. Like, this isn't football where you're constantly trying to cheat and get away with stuff. It's not baseball where, you know, you need an umpire to make a call every play. This is curling. Like, it's supposed to be a bunch of, you know, out of shape, drunk guys throwing, you know, sliding rocks on ice. Like, it's not supposed to be what it's become.
The cherry on this is when asked about this, because apparently the Swedes had asked for a camera to specifically be on the hog line to watch while they're playing. And the Canadians' response was, they set us up to get caught.
Yeah.
Not that, hey, we really didn't cheat. That's a bad camera angle. It was, they set us up. And you're like, yeah. That's your defense, that you got caught because you were set up to get caught.
Bunch of snitches. I'm like, guys.
And then what's even better is, and Canada is one of those teams that just usually dominates the sport. So for a team to do this, and you just, you know, it's like when finding out that, you know, the Yankees or the Patriots, you know, they would skirt the edge of rules, you know, and that's how they would win all these games. You're like,
steal people's rule books, which is right. What the Patriots did.
So you're just like, okay, but you could have handled this better, especially since, you know, you're clearly dominating, because I think they won both of those games anyways.
Yeah.
No penalty was put on them because,
right.
Again, there's really the only penalty is if you accidentally touch a stone, then it gets what's called burned, essentially taken out of play. It's just this really weird controversy that you're just like, that shouldn't happen.
What cheesed me off is they took it all out of the replay. Mm-hmm. So if you went and tried to watch the replay, at least on NBC, it would just skip. And honestly, it looked like there was a penalty because what it skips to is one stone knocking another stone out of the way, and then them taking the stone that knocked the stone out of the way and dead stoning that and putting the original stone back in place. And you're like,
no, there was actual rules, and I can't remember what it was, but it was something about dealing with if your stone doesn't even make it to the house after knocking off a guard, the guard goes back.
Okay.
So I did see that, and I did think about asking about that.
Yeah,
that wasn't part of doing anything like that, but yeah.
Yeah, but per the replay, that's what you skip to,
right?
And you're just like, well, was that the solution to the penalty?
Right. And so there was no clear answer on how that all really worked out.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting
until the women did it,
right?
Because they got penalized. The Canadian women did it too, which I guess this is apparently something that some women and men do in Canada as part of the curling thing. They touch the granite.
Apparently it's not against the rules in international competition, like when they play in Canada, because that's why they said they were doing it, is that the rules for those competitions in Canada don't say that you can't do that.
Yeah.
But you should know the rules, and it shouldn't matter where you're playing. You should know the rules and you should abide by them. And being right. The Canadians, you should already know that, and it shouldn't be an excuse.
Yeah. So I think the Canadians still end up sweeping the golds, both women and men. But we got their hockey gold, so whatever.
We'll work on curling next.
Yeah, you can have curling. It's a Scottish sport anyway. We'll take your hockey. It's ours now. Your hockey is ours. Ha 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 ha.
So real quick before we go, I want to mention the new sport this year that was really kind of interesting, and its abbreviation is SKIMO, and it's short for ski mountaineering.
Good grief, is this a sport?
Essentially, it was cross-country obstacle racing in skis.
Golly, it is nuts.
So the competitors would have to cross-country up a hill, take their skis off, climb some stairs, come down the hill on, I want to say they were like moguls, maybe?
No, the stairs weren't on the first part.
No?
No, so they would go up. It was just pretty much a straight shot. And then they would come down,
right.
And then they would go up through an obstacle
like course. Like a zigzag obstacle course.
Yeah. And then they take off their skis and walk up, what do you call it?
Stairs.
Stairs. And then put the skis back on and then come down again.
Right.
And then you would tag your partner and then you'd wait, hoping to God that you could get your heart rate low enough by the time you had to do it again to not die. Like, good grief watching these people do this.
It was so funny. I was like watching this and I was like, boy, this is like something you'd see on Nickelodeon or something back in the 90s.
Yeah. Legends of the Hidden Temple kind of Double Dare.
Or Guts. You remember Guts? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or American Gladiator.
Yeah. There you go. American Gladiator.
Ninja Warrior. It all had that feel to it. Like, this was one of those things you looked at that you were like, no, what?
As if we didn't have enough skiing events.
Yeah. Let's come up with something even harder than the biathlon. Let's ski a whole bunch and shoot tiny targets. Okay. Winter sports are so much like stranger compared to the summer sports. And summer sports are going to have you run from there to just over there. And then for the next time, we're going to have you run from there to a little further than we had you run last time. Winter sports. We're going to strap blades to your feet and ask you to twirl in the air and land, but only on one blade.
Now we're going to have you put on skis and shoot things.
Yeah, put on skis and shoot things. We're going to attach blades to everybody's shoes, put them on the ice, give them these sticks, and have them whack at each other trying to hit a small stone on the ground. Are you insane?
Maybe. It's cold out there.
Yeah, winter sports are intense.
But overall, I would say this has probably been standard, and by that I mean a successful Olympics. I don't think there were any huge controversies over the location or the venues or the people. Everything for the most part worked. There was some electrical issues the first day of curling, but that was quickly resolved. And ooh, did we mention the dog?
No, wait, dog.
Nazgul.
That what?
Yeah, so there was this wolf dog.
Oh.
That ran out onto one of the skiing courses and then they couldn't catch it.
Yeah.
And he literally ran all the way down. I think he was running behind some skiers or snowboarders that were racing.
Go, go, he's gonna kill us. It's right, a wolfhound. Right.
They're like, oh, it's a dog. His name's Nazgul. I'm like, it looks like a wolf, and someone named it Nazgul because it was terrifying.
Yeah, because it was gonna kill you and steal your soul. Searching for the One Ring. yeah. No, so what we did not talk about was Crotchgate.
Oh, yeah.
So get this. Apparently, every square inch of fabric that you have on your body on a ski jump, it nets you some amount of extra time in the air, which is important, right? Because you're trying to jump the furthest, right? Everybody gets the same down and then off point, and then, you know, you're going down this hill, and when your skis touch, that's your ski jump, right? At least for the non-fun looking ones, the one where you just sort of spread yourself out like a flying squirrel. Well, because every bit of fabric matters, but also you want to be not weighing very much, if you can enhance the volume of yourself without also enhancing the weight, then you can get a distinct advantage. And apparently pumping certain parts of your body with certain chemicals will do that.
And it's important to note that I do believe it is per the rules that you are supposed to have a tight fitting, you know, uniform or outfit for that very reason.
Yeah. So there were people who were pumping up certain parts of their body in and around the crotch region in order to get more fabric on their bodysuits in order to gain an advantage on the jump.
So to go a little deeper there, what happens is that each athlete gets 3D scanned. So before the scanning is done, they inject this stuff into their person and then it expands and then they get scanned. The outfit is made, and then by the time the times come to competition, everything goes back to normal, and then you have that excess fabric.
Yep. Really, nobody can fault them except for the Olympic Committee.
Well, I mean, like, do you remember who was like being accused of that? Which team? Because I mean, if it's not the French, then I just think that's an opportunity missed.
No, I think it was the Norwegians. I think
Norwegians.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It was some group of Scandinavian teams, if I remember correctly. Because I don't think it was just one.
Right. Because like they don't win enough.
Right. Exactly. I'm like, you don't have enough. You don't have all of the skiing medals. You also need the jump ones. Good for you. So yeah, it was funny. If you want a real good notion of how it works, go watch look up Colin Jost interview during Olympics. You'll have yourself a good 10-minute laugh.
And oh, yeah.
you will laugh for 10 minutes.
This Olympics was really interesting as far as like celebrities, because celebrities like Flavor Flav and Snoop Dogg, they helped sponsor a bunch of teams like bobsled and like luge and
Flavor Flav and Raisin Cane's,
right,
was the bobsled people.
And Snoop Dogg was just everywhere. I mean, like everything.
So they had these segments. It was called Snooping Around Milan or Italy. And it was, or the games, snooping around. And it was Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart doing stuff in Milan, going to restaurants or to museums or whatever the heck else they could go to, touristy stuff. That was what that whole segment was about.
And so going back to Colin Jost is that he got a chance to see what it's like to be in a bobsled.
Yeah.
In a two-man bobsled. And they told him, put your head down, don't pick it up, you know? So he can't see where he's going on this thing. It's going like 100 miles an hour down this ice chute. And he goes, I literally thought I was going to die. I just thought we'd hit something and my bones would just shatter.
Yeah, my bones would come out of my body. It's pretty good. It's pretty fantastic. And if you don't remember, he was the comedic highlight of the games in Paris. He was, of course, in Fiji for that because he was covering the surfing competition. Yes, he did, in fact, get several different bacterial and viral infections while he was there.
Howard Cosell. Oh, that happened to Pink Eye, to that one guy in Sochi.
Scott Baio. No, I know. It's not Scott Brown. Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I thought it was a very good Olympics. I thought it was very entertaining. Most of the coverage was really good. The stuff that I could watch. That was the disappointing part, is I couldn't watch all of it. There was just so much going on. I couldn't watch it all the time and pay attention.
And that's always the problem with the Olympics. You got to sort of pick and choose, especially with game, you know, hockey games and curling matches that take 2 to 3 hours. Mm-hmm. You just burn through time and you're like, well, or one of the things I will say that is a benefit of the prime time that NBC does is they do focus on sports where the, you know, USA medals, and they do tend to focus on the best performances from that. So most events will take 2 to 4 hours, you know, whether it's figure skating or skiing or, you know, the luge or whatever. Mm-hmm. They will pare it down to 15 minutes to half an hour. They will show you the Americans, they will show you the Italians or whoever the host team is, and then they will show you whoever wins the medals and then some other really good, exciting competitors.
Right.
And if it's not your sport, let's say you don't really care that much about the luge, then that's a nice way to watch it.
Mm-hmm. And I thought the add-on to the fact that they now have a streaming service, whereas last time it was an app, I thought it helped. I mean, you could, you know, go back and forth and click certain things. So if you had it, if you had that streaming service, the Peacock streaming service, it made things more accessible.
Yeah. And the other point I'll say is I never felt like I was watching a continuous stream of other countries' players' origin stories. Mm-hmm. Heck, I wasn't even watching our own origin stories outside of the in-coverage commentary.
Right.
Which, that's where it should be. Like, it should be the commentators who know the individuals, really talking about them. And they did little promos for each of them before their major competitions.
Not like documentary type stuff.
Yeah, it was like 5 to 10 minutes, right? Total. Like, you know, Ilian had his thing and Alyssa had her thing and, you know, Michaela had hers. That was fine, right? But it wasn't like having to watch this Australian swimmer's origin story, which was 15 minutes long, 10 times over the course of the Olympic. And I'm like, I don't care. Number one, once was enough.
Right.
And number two, like, her event was like 4 days ago. Can't I watch some of the runners?
Well, whether it's the summer or the winter Olympics, there's enough going on that you can replay things 2 or 3 times in a given day. So that way everyone can see, you know, the important stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough going on that you don't need this stuff to fill in, because, you know, even if you're not watching the American stuff, if you're into these sports, or even if you're somewhere else, you're tuning into NBC because they have the contract on it. I mean, just giving people access to the actual sport is better than documentaries.
Yeah, exactly.
You want a documentary? Watch it after the fact. I'm sure if they want a medal for somewhere, there's going to be a documentary made for them.
Yeah, I will say overall, this is one of the better Winter Olympics. You know, there were a couple scandals. I feel like there's always going to be scandals, but they weren't big. They weren't overarching.
No.
It wasn't like they made the whole, you know, they colored the whole thing. It
wasn't like they had a hard time bringing in snow like they did in Russia.
Yeah, or it was all fake in China. It was an Olympics. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this weird fake half thing that we've gotten for so many years now from Brazil and from Russia and from China. And
Some of the facilities they talked about, they talked that they had to have an esports room for certain players, because there were certain athletes that absolutely the only way they could focus was by playing video games. Yeah. They had like a meditation room with like plants and things. They had a room where you could take plants into your room in the Olympic Village to care for and have in there to give you, you know, make you feel better. So there was like some really interesting stuff in there, and it didn't seem like it was poorly made. Nobody talked about how cruddy the accommodations were.
Just the beds that were supposed to collapse in the event that more than two people's weight were on them.
That's right, because they were cardboard, right?
They were. Yeah, they were.
Because if you don't know, folks, there's an awful lot of that happens at these Olympics, both winter and
children
summer.
Children, listen to this program, Bruce.
I mean, a lot. More than any college campus.
I mean, you're taking all of the elite athletes from all of the college campuses in around the world,
and they're all between the ages of 15 and like less than 30.
Yeah, and you're jamming them in one place.
So there's some companies out there that make some real money every 2 years.
Yeah. Let's just say there's a reason there tend to be multiple of the same in the same family who are Olympic athletes.
A lot of German scientists hanging around these Olympic villages.
Yep. 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 Well, on that super dark note, I think that's going to wrap up our coverage of the 2026 Milan Cortina Olympics. Any final words of the fat man?
I'm sad that it's over. Sad that I got to wait another 4 years. I'm not as big a fan of the summer as I am of the winter. This was a good year, and I can't wait for the next one. USA.
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 USA. Take that, you poutine-loving.
All right. Remember, we have a website, patthefatman.com, and a Patreon. Please subscribe to our Patreon and give us money. We would really appreciate it. It helps us pay our editor and stay on the air and produce these shows. And they are far more listenable because of our editor. Just ask her anytime. And also us. Just go to the website, patthefatman.com, and click on the Patreon button. Please tell all your friends and family and anyone you meet on the street. I'm Pat.
I'm the fat man.
Stay classy.
USA.
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 USA. USA. Oh. Children, listen to this program.
Oh, sure. You can do it. Bloody favoritism.